The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From Variety, I'm Michael Schneider.
Thank you for being a friend.
The Golden Girls remains one of the most beloved sitcoms of all time. For Broad City creators and stars Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer, it was more than just a funny show. It was also an inspiration. Both of them have been binging classic episodes recently and were very impressed by how much the show still holds up today, 35 years later. And yes, they had even forgotten about how wonderfully risque the show could get.
And it's like so. It's
that
so
shit
funny.
Just holds up.
Right.
Something I love about Golden Girls also is that these old women are so horny. All of them. All four of them are horny. And it's not like the joke isn't. I mean, I guess the joke is that they're horny, but I think it's like baseline level. These ladies are horny. And then the jokes come on top of that, which is so impressive.
And
yeah.
You watch it and you're like, I hope. I am like that when I'm older.
On this edition of the podcast, we talk to Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer about the joy of the Golden Girls. Plus, we discuss the end of Broad City and what's next for the duo. It's my favorite episode.
My favorite episode's about to start.
Favorite episode.
Coming real, it's the next episode.
The Golden Girls ran for 180 episodes between 1985 and 1992 and starred Bea Arthur, Betty White, Rue McClanahan, and Estelle Getty as four women living together in a Miami house and their friendship. It was Sex and the City in a way before Sex and the City ever existed. And for Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer, it was Comedy School as well, a show that offered big laughs, well-defined characters, and interesting relationships. As Jacobson and Glazer were ending their five-season run of Broad City on Comedy Central, we asked them to share their favorite episode of TV ever. It was a tough choice, but the duo settled on the Golden Girls Season 1 finale titled The Way We Met, which was first broadcast on May 10, 1986. Through flashbacks, we learn how Miami roommates Dorothy, Rose, and Blanche first met and came to live together. It was the capper of a hit first season and a testament to the fact that the show and its characters had already been well established after a single year.
Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I know exactly what you're going through. I can read it in your face.
You can?
Oh, sure. Your husband or your boyfriend dumped you. Oh, honey, don't let it get you down. It's just the nature of the beast. They'd do it in the mud if they had to. You just go sleep with his best friend. That'll even up the score.
Am I uncandid, camera?
You mean you didn't get dumped?
Well, actually, I did, by my landlord. He threw me out of my apartment. But I couldn't sleep with his best friend. He's over 80 years old and thinks he's the Archduke Ferdinand.
Why did he throw you out?
Well, the new owners of the building don't allow cats, and I'm not about to part with Mr. Peepers.
Oh, I guess you two have been through a lot together, huh?
Yes. I found him last week. But I wouldn't feel right having a home if he didn't. Mm. We've become very attached.
You know, I think that shows great strength of character. I like you. And I like cats. I also happen to have a room for rent, and the name is Blanche Devereaux.
Why would you name a room Blanche Devereaux?
Jacobson and Glazer said it reminded them of how Broad City eventually did its own origin story episode.
Four and three,
for this podcast, we chose a Golden Girls episode. It was hard, actually, to figure out. We couldn't really like land on my favorite episode that we both picked naturally, right?
We haven't watched the same shows.
Yeah.
And also, like, TV feels different to watch now. I don't watch comedy the way I did when I would pick my favorite comedy. You know what I mean? Like, if I were doing it individually, I don't know. But the one we chose...
It didn't have to be comedy.
Right. But...
Oh, too late now.
It is what it is. The episode we chose was the finale of season one of Golden Girls, the 25th episode. Unbelievable number of episodes. Which was their origin story.
And it was called When...
The Way We Met.
And it was called The Way We Met.
Yeah.
We've written an origin story and we wanted to see maybe how it compared, how it differed.
And we were actually, for season one of our show, we were originally going to do the origin story, which ended up being the opener of season four as our finale.
Of season one.
Of season one, which is what they did. And we were rightfully so told that, you know, you want to know the characters more before you know how they met and like, we should wait. And I think maybe because they have 25 seasons or 25 episodes that I think it was okay that they did it.
And it was also like for us, we were operating out of fear that we weren't going to get a next season. And I don't think this was like that reason. And they also didn't like change that much. We showed this like huge transformation in our origin story. And for them, it was like, remember when we met a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it sort of allows you sometimes to reverse engineer, right?
Yeah.
Once you've been on the air for a while, you can sort of like, you have a better idea of how these characters might have met.
So to be real, it's not like this is our favorite episode ever, but it's like one of our favorite shows ever, for sure. One of the best shows on television ever.
And
just a great episode. Hilarious.
Still holds up, too.
It really holds up.
Unbelievable. I've been watching from the pilot. These days, just going
they're
through
all on Hulu.
Series, it's the best. And I'm finding myself LOLing. I mean, I am like truly slapping my knee, bent. It's unbelievable. There's zingers. Every joke is like, it's just so, it's so well written, so well constructed. It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're like, you know, multicam sitcoms got a bad rap. I don't know if like toward the end of the 90s where people were kind of sick of them or something, but... Now, maybe we've had enough time where, you know, there have been so many single camera, like single camera became like the comedy norm that you can now go back and look at these multicams with a new appreciation and see like the way they do it. And, you know, Bea Arthur can just throw out this like killer line every once in a while.
You know, like we've been talking today on our like press day a lot about this season and how the guidelines of what we wanted to accomplish as far as character growth. How that guided us in writing this season. And there was something about watching that episode that made me feel like the multicam structure was a boundary that like held this energy in. And then the energy just popped off the screen. Cause it's so palpable and funny and you feel like you're there in this multicam format. It was surprising.
Yeah.
It's been surprising as I've been watching the show.
There are some moments. Well, first of all, let's go back to Golden Girls itself. Both of you are too young to have watched it during its original run. So
I know. Well, this episode aired in 86.
Yeah.
When did this show go until?
So it went from 85 to like
92,
I think.
And then the spinoff was Empty Nest, or it was like the guy that was a doctor.
They did Empty Nest was one spinoff, and then they did that final season called Golden Palace. That B. Arthur was like, "I'm done, guys." But Don Cheadle was in that spinoff. So and they moved to a hotel.
Ew.
It was like one of those.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, you probably don't.
Wait, so I think I did watch it as a kid because I was 11.
Yeah,
and you watched it. I also watched it with like my parents.
It was a huge show.
Yeah, especially toward the end of its run.
And then it was on like Nick at Night, right? Or like TV Land or whatever.
And there was such adult comedy, but it was one of those shows that even if you didn't understand the joke, you get the intonation.
And every kid would probably love Sophia? Yes, every kid would love Sophia, regardless, because that's like the, she's the most animated, she's the most like...
I mean, it's funny, and Rose is like a kid herself, yes. Bea is like this...
Like, you do get the jokes.
Yeah, it's such a fucking good show.
I do love, also I noticed last night, or when I watched this,
we should not...
Which is monthly.
I noticed when we watched it.
Every day, yeah.
Bea Arthur in particular, I love that it is so... I mean, it's definitely written way punchier than I think what we're used to in terms of like jokes. Mm-hmm. It feels like they are like, they're just like funny women that happen to have found each other, like in the show, like the characters themselves. But she can throw out such like a written line, but it feels so natural to the character. And then in the next scene, a look does exactly the same. Mm. Just a look. The audience goes nuts.
Yeah.
She is so such a magical character because she's like, she's so masculine and she's kind of like this fluid character. You know, like she's like this kind of this like bitchy older woman, but also she's like a scary, your scary man teacher. She just, I don't know. She spans, she's like so big in the gay community and she supported the queer community and she left her, I think, her money to the center in New York for like gay youth housing. And I think she was like married to men or whatever, but there's something about her that's so ageless, genderless, raceless. She's just like, there's a Bea Arthur in every group. You know, like there's that stern character that is also finding the absurdity.
Yeah.
Moment. You know, one of my, I think my favorite moment of the episode is when she's like, Blanche, we can't get these sardines or whatever because they're too expensive. And Blanche is like, basically they help men get hard. And she's like, oh, Blanche walks away. And the slyness with which she reaches down and grabs a quick three cans. I was like,
I love that.
It was like a dance.
Yeah.
It was like a modern dance.
Because there's not a ton of physical, like it was like, oh my God.
It was elegant. And she's so long and thin and tall and like her hands just like dipping in there. It was so, did you watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
It was
and
so
yeah,
funny.
There's a couple of moments like that. One of my favorite moments in this episode in particular is when, Rose is telling the herring story.
Oh my gosh.
Rue McClanahan and Bea Arthur are breaking.
This is exactly what happened during the Great Herring War. The Great Herring War?
Yes, between the Lindstroms and the Johansons.
Oh, that Great Herring War.
The two families control the most fertile herring waters off the coast of Norway, so naturally it seemed like it would be in their best interest to band together. Boy, was that a mistake. You see, they couldn't agree on what to do with the herring.
Oh, well, that's understandable. I mean, the possibilities are overwhelming.
Exactly. The Johansons wanted to pickle the herring, and the Lindstroms wanted to train them for the circus.
Weren't they kind of hard to see riding on the elephants?
Oh, not that kind of circus. A herring circus. Sort of like SeaWorld. Only smaller. Much, much smaller. But bigger than a flea circus.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, Rose. did they ever shoot a herring out of a cannon?
Like,
well, that's what I know because it was
said
such...
this morning. I thought that they were breaking, but they were supposed to be laughing, such that it solved.
But
it
was such real laughter, right? But,
yeah, because you could tell. Like at one point, Rue like covers her mouth, like she's like, "I know I'm not supposed to be laughing
did
right now."
Did you rewind it too?
Yeah.
Did you?
I didn't rewind it, but I was like, "This is incredible."
I went to look again because
I didn't think they were breaking. I was like, "They're incredible," because like laughing. And then you have to do it a
laughing
bunch of times.
Hard.
Yeah. It's really hard
on
if
camera.
It's not
it's gross. You're
real.
Like, I'm not laughing right now. Like when it's real, it's actually so vulnerable. You feel like you're like having an orgasm on camera. You can't control it. Like they were orgasmically laughing.
Yeah.
And there's this thing. There's this shot on Rose. And you hear Bea go, huh.
And Blanche is like, you see her covering her face in the over the shoulder, her hands on her face.
They quickly like switch cameras because they know like she's breaking.
I also think like Betty White, I don't know how she says her lines and doesn't break constantly. Because they're like, that character is just so sweet and innocent, but like, what?
And Blanche in that moment, what I loved, she was straddling both being dumb, ignorant, not knowing how funny she was being, but she was also being, she knew, not Betty, Rose, knew that this might solve their tension. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, like, that was so cool. Rose, it was interesting to see them meet, and Rose doesn't know how funny she is yet, and Rose, like, throughout the series, I think, gets a hold on how funny her, she realizes by the responses that her, I think she became more aware of it, and it was just a cool level she was straddling in reality.
Also, the way that Blanche and Rose met, I was like so surprised but loved it that it was, you know, they met over the room and then, you know, Blanche had her open room in her house and met Rose and she was said a couple of things that Blanche was like, oh no, I don't think this is going to work out. And then watched her give away the cat to that little boy. And it was like, not funny. It was, I was a little bit like, what's going on? But
I was
like, what is happening? There's a little kid. Yeah. And like you just give it to a little kid.
And then he's like, mom.
Yeah. It's like crazy. But then she's like, you know what? I want you to be my roommate. It was so sweet and full of heart.
Yeah. Blanche's like discernment of one's character was so serious. And also where were they?
She was like sitting at a table in the supermarket.
It was almost like the set from Supermarket Sweep.
They were like borrowing it.
I totally was thinking that same thing.
It totally was.
It was. Now that we all agree that that's the truth, it is the truth. It's all thank you.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. And I love.
They put a board in front of the aisle. Like a bulletin board.
They're like, these idiots also, will never know.
They leave and like 20 people come up and look at the board.
30 years later, we solve it.
Yeah, that's the downside of doing multicam is like you have to like build out this set that clearly you're only going to use
Sandler's
once or twice.
Book, I learned swing sets. That must be a swing the set producer. For NBC.
Yeah.
But it's also such a nostalgic show to watch because it reminds me of my – It reminds me specifically of my grandmother.
Yes.
Stelle.
It reminds me of both of mine. And my
grandma. Even the color palette. They like walk out. Like, she's like, let me show you the lanai. And I love her. She's like, you can sit out here with your shirt off. And she said, oh, the neighbors can't see. No, they can.
And
it's like so. It's that so shit funny. Just holds up.
Right. Something I love about Golden Girls also is that these old women are so horny. All of them. All four of them are horny. And it's not like the joke isn't. I mean, I guess the joke is that they're horny, but I think it's like baseline level, these ladies are horny. And then the jokes come on top of that, which is so impressive.
And
to me.
Watch it and you're like, I hope I am like that.
Yes.
When I'm older. You know, I don't know if I want to live with like, you know, but you just hope personally you're, maybe I would.
Yeah.
But you hope that you're like that cool and that like still.
I also loved how like they're not obsessed with their children. You barely see their kids. And when you see them, it's annoying. They're like, it's time to get out of here. Like they're always like, not annoyed, but like somewhat inconvenienced by their children's narrative affecting theirs. And then they're like a little bit like, see ya. And then they're relieved almost. It's very cool.
Well, what's interesting is just, how empowered these women are. And, you know, this is a show that aired 35 years ago. I'm bad with math because I'm a journalist. But also,
that's scary that it aired that long ago.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah. So 30 odd years ago, and it still would be revolutionary today. Like when, you know, Grace and Frankie on the air right now and people are making such a big deal about, hey, the show about these empowered women of a certain age, how advanced is that? Well, Golden Girls was doing that 30 years ago.
It's crazy. I like recently, I don't know, whatever. I've been learning about like the waves of feminism and how the 80s was a stronger time for women and women like getting in the workplace. And the 90s was like sort of this, I don't know, a step back where like it was like outside in where it was like, aren't we lucky girls how equal everything is? And it's like, but wait, don't take this for granted yet. We're not, you know, whatever the swinging 90s or whatever. And like the 80s, it's like they just fit right in there, like just putting their heads down and doing the work. The people behind Golden Girls, the women on screen, like it just was, it's not like they took it for granted, but much like Broad City, it wasn't like this show about women. Can you believe women? It wasn't even that. It was just great comedy yeah. show that happened to star four white women in their like 50s and yeah. 60s.
And they were all coming off powerful shows. Yes. I mean, let's not forget Bea Arthur was Maude, which pushed the envelope and like set the agenda, you know, Norman Lear show that really was so far ahead of its time.
A Jewish woman when she gets pregnant. I mean, all the storylines were yeah. so deep, and yet she carried such comedy with that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's yeah, powerful. So
and also to go from like a single where she's the star to like sharing right. it with an ensemble is partnership culture. It's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the, yeah, all these superstars, they all could have carried their own show.
Yeah.
But as a combo. So, so yeah. So your takeaway, I mean, how influenced were you by these kind of shows? Maybe it was even like sort of internal. You haven't really thought about it much, but do you think you were influenced much by?
100%. Yeah. I watched so much TV as a kid, and it's my like complete education. I like sometimes talk to my husband about like, well, my parents were like working at night, so I like watched all the TV. He's like, thank God it was my, you know, we didn't study TV and film. Like that was my education.
Yeah.
But my, my brother Elliot is a Golden Girls fanatic. He has a huge Bea Arthur tattoo.
Does he really?
It's also gorgeous. It like literally honors her. But you know, it's almost like always been in my world because of my brother Elliot.
Yeah.
And I've always watched it, but lately, like taking the step to rewatch it myself has yeah. been this new appreciation for me.
Same. I watched it as a kid and then it was like always my go-to, you know, when you're like up late or in a hotel and there's like,
right.
Like certain channels that show like Golden Girls or Seinfeld or Friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Like what is that? They're the most syndicated shows. I'm always so happy when Golden Girls was on because yeah. There wasn't these streaming platforms where you
right.
could just watch a whole season.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
And then recently when they put them all up on Hulu, I've been watching yes. the first season and it is, I don't think I even realized how much it was an influence. Like, I think it was just there.
Right. Right.
It was this thing, but TV in general, I mean, yeah, I watched so much TV as a kid.
It's shocking with the Golden Girls, how timeless every joke is. There's this one joke in this episode we watched about like Bette Midler and the Grammys. And I was like, what? But that stood out so much because all the other ones were not based it's all based on like humanity and
yeah.
character dynamics rather than cultural references, which we have to police ourselves into not relying on too much. And I think a lot of writers our yeah. age do too, but so funny.
And it's so funny you mentioned that Bette Midler joke because I noticed that too. And I was like, even that feels timeless. Like you could make a Bette
yeah,
Midler at the Grammys joke today.
Yeah.
And it still fits.
I thought that too. I was like, if you're going to do a cultural reference, Bette Midler at this point is like as big yeah. to me as Mickey Mouse. I'm like, yes, of course you can say yep. that, you know? And they also were like, no thanks, Mary Poppins to Rose. Blanche says that to Rose. And I was like,
Yeah. I totally noticed that too. Unfortunately, most of them have passed now, except Betty White. Have you had a chance to meet Mm-mm. Betty White or anyone? So,
yeah.
I mean, Betty White, when you think about like how, like into her 90s, how like whip smart she still is.
It's scary. And it's, yeah. How old is she?
She's in her 90s. I'm not sure exactly what her age. But
the only person we met in that world, we met Norman Lear. Which was incredible.
Yeah, another
not
person.
Not girls, but just like in that.
Yeah,
age.
Of that. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was unbelievable.
And he was also smart, but then also like aware of his own limitations where mm-hmm. he's like, I'm old. I don't know. You know, it was like, he was so funny and smart. But I actually did meet Rue McClanahan at Comics once, and she put her hand on my face and said I was pretty.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Incredible.
We
at
were
Comics on 23rd Street?
There was this
Street?
Disgusting comedy club, Comics with an X. And then the basement was Ochi's Lounge. It was pretty gross and like uh-huh. made no sense financially. Mm. And, but it was fun for a while. And, Rue did a show there and my brother and I were there and I think my parents happened to be there and we were like freaking out. And we just told her how much we loved her and she put her hand on my face. She is so sorry to like be shallow, but she is so freaking pretty. That like mousy little face. It's like,
in her voice.
Oh, yeah. So sexy. It's amazing. I was with the episode. I was like, she's the sexiest thing.
Yeah.
It makes you be like, woo, it's going to be fun. Like deep into my like seven, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. She's
Yeah.
Really powerful people, those four.
It's like hashtag goals. Yes. Is to be Rue McClanahan. Yeah.
Spirit goals.
Yeah. Well, maybe in touching your face, she kind of like transported something. She passed on something.
Do you know what the only thing that I was like, how old are they supposed to be on the show?
I think like they're 50s.
Which is crazy. I'm like they're not in their 50s, right?
So.
Like, were they?
I think
they were, because if she's 90s now. Just,
things look so different now.
Yeah.
Well, people weren't allowed to be. I mean, it's taken so long for people to be able to be like youthful and alive this way. But 50s, it's like, well, now you wear this kind of thing.
And the funny thing always was that Estelle Getty was actually the youngest of all of them.
How did they do that?
So,
like a little wig.
Yeah,
she's so tiny and just hunches her back. She's so funny.
Yeah, but you're right. That was the one thing about, they were like, I think in their late 50s, but to call them the Golden Girls was like, they're
but
not
it's like the 80s.
Watch when they feel like they're in their 70s.
Yeah, 60s, late 60s.
They seem older than my parents.
Yeah,
though.
They seem 70.
Yeah.
But like, they seem in their 70s.
Yeah.
Back then, it was like, you're done as a woman at 30 or whatever. So in your 50s is your Golden Girls, you know? But the boundaries
that doesn't quite. But I just think of them as older than.
And we were little when it first came out. So like, whoa, they're old.
But, yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, I think. But, you know, someone like mentioned, you know, J-Lo, for example, in her 50s now, not maybe like 5 years younger than like, and she's not much younger than, say, Estelle Getty was on that show at the time. So how about that? That's
good fucking crazy. Comparison. That's insane.
That is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's exciting.
That's our culture is just like also. Yeah, everyone feels younger.
It's a little bit painful with J-Lo. It's like, that's a lot of upkeep, even if she was in her 30s, to be that hot. But then it's also like freedom that she's allowed to be that that mm-hmm. sexy at that age.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also like, I'm tired already. In my 30s, you know?
So did you, in prepping for the final season, go back and watch... you probably get this question a lot. Watch other finales. Did Comedy Central is promoting the show as what's going to happen? Yeah. What's going to happen?
I was like nodding because I thought you meant, because I like to rewatch the show, as much, like Broad City, as much as I can. Uh-huh. I didn't really watch
the
finale.
We rewatched, just so we were like more in tune with like the jokes we'd already made.
To like wrap them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't rewatch, but I thought about them.
Yeah.
Like, the Seinfeld finale was so controversial when it came out. And
oh my God.
We knew we didn't want it to just feel like any
other
episode.
You're having to, like, tick off every box. Right? Yeah.
And, I mean, my favorite show and finale would be Six Feet Under.
Mm.
That finale is, like... And people maybe didn't like that either. But did you like that?
I did. Well, I was a sucker for the Sia song, right? Where they went through
I can't listen to that song.
Sometimes there's ways the shows do it right where they actually do give you a little glimpse of the future. Mm-hmm. I think Parks and Rec did that very well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, but they did that great. Wonder Years. Did it fantastic as well,
they
tell you the end where it's like, you know, Kevin says, and my dad died years later,
right,
and they give you the, and then him and Winnie ultimately remain friends, but you know, he got married to someone else. And like when they sometimes give you that quick.
And you feel like good. You're like, they're good. Yeah. So
good call.
In a way, I think we thought about other finales we'd seen and loved, and I guess why. And tried to make it like when you watch it, you feel good about where the characters are.
So they showed us three episodes. I don't think they were like the first three. I think they were kind of a mix. Yeah. Okay. So obviously there's, you know, we see big movement in the lives of Abby and Alana. And, you know, that seemed obviously you wanted to kind of put them on a path and really sort of end with, you know, real movement and growth. They're both on these new journeys. I mean, I know you don't want to spoil it, but you know, talk a little bit about what the plan was in the final season and giving them these new sort of paths to take.
You know, and thinking about, did we watch other shows? We've always known kind of the last scene and where we've known the last scene for a long time. We've known how it would end, how it would have to end. But we did not know the growth that we were going to have to push our characters forward into until I think the first week of writing, where we always do this like blue sky for like 2 weeks, one week in the beginning of writing. And it's like big blue sky, endless possibilities. Like, you know, that thing Toby was saying where it's like, what would you do if you can't fail? If you knew, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Type of just like,
what do we want to do? We have this. Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh, we have been chilling. Just these characters have been like fucking around and we know this.
Like shenanigans, like doing their, you know, every episode doesn't really have like a stakes.
But then I think in that blue sky, we're like, oh my God.
There's if a we want to get pipe, to that point.
A lot of pipe to lay.
Yeah. And yeah, there's just, I think it was something we always knew we wanted, but also it was a challenge that was something I think we were excited about, challenging ourselves to write in this more, in this deeper, more emotional way. Mm-hmm. And also remain funny, like that push and pull of those two things.
And not just like, huh, but like still LOL, yeah, hard
and,
comedy.
And yeah, the more classic. We leaned into that, the more, the funnier actually it got. And so, yeah, there's a lot of growth and changes within the characters, but we felt we owed that to the show and to the audience.
Yeah. There's something about seeing these characters like, achieve things and really move that, you know, having been with them for so long now, you're excited for them. Like when Abby does that, the storefront at Anthropology, mm-hmm. like that looks really good.
It
like,
looks really good, really, right?
Like she kicked ass.
So and they've never had that opportunity. Yeah.
Because it's also, we wanted that in particular to be like realistic too. And like, it's just so sweet. It's such a sweet level. That window, it's like this tiny window, you know, it's like, but it does. I'm so glad you think so. It looks good.
I also like the effect in the first episode back when you're celebrating Abby's birthday and you're doing like the walk all the way down Manhattan. And both, I like that idea. Also the effects, like using like the whole Instagram, like stories thing, which it was very, you know, on brand, but also very contemporary. It was kind of fun to see. But that whole relationship, seems to be, you know, going to evolve or change or be put to the tests, without again giving away too much. I mean, where are we gonna, how's it gonna end, as the Comedy Central marketing says?
We wanted to show little, give you little nibbles of that throughout. And that's just, you know, I think that's just how life is like things, relationships morph into something different. And I think that's where, I don't want to say what's going on. I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing, but it's different. And that is those kinds of changes are hard, but necessary to grow. And I'm being so vague. I don't know how to answer this without telling you the thing.
Well,
I don't want to, I would tell you, but I don't want to keep forgetting there's a mic.
I think it's going to end in a way that is like satisfyingly real and breathes realness into the show. That's like, that elevates it from, it's sort of animated cartoony vibe. I mean, the whole season, but especially how it ends, from this animated vibe into like more deeply human. And I hope that it is, feels like complete and feels like this loop is closed, that we feel like we're launching the characters as though they're real people, as though they're our children out into the world. We did what we had to do to like raise them. And I think we hope our audience feels the same way as viewers. We've all like learned together.
Do you feel like you leave it at a place where you would want to revisit these characters in a few years? Or, I mean, it's the classic question of one day, never say never.
I don't think that we are planning. We're not planning on that. I don't think I can even like get in the mindset to even think about that. There's so many like reboots now. I'm not like shutting it down, but I'm just sort of like, I need to process like it ending at all. Yeah. And I'm so excited for what both of us will do individually and to the other projects we're doing together. Like, I'm just excited to expand And then we'll see. I'm not like, no, yeah. The saddest part for me and the thing I'm going to miss the most is never getting to act as that character with Alana, you know, like, or just getting to act with Alana. And so that's the thing I'm going to miss. So I don't know at a certain point if I will get like, I got to do this again. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That but would be
like,
why.
We are like struggling to process it now. You know, it's been 10 years for us, yeah. This project, this alternate reality we've been creating. So it's hard to say that now.
Yeah.
But it sounds fun.
Yeah. you guys have a lot in the pipeline. So anything in particular that you've got a couple of animated projects, one with your brother, like you mentioned, any news, any movement? What should we be keeping an eye out for?
We got a couple things together and a bunch of stuff solo. We got some shows at Comedy Central that we're producing. One live action show that is kind of like a little bit like Friends in DC-ish. That was created by David Litt, who's was a speechwriter for Obama and the youngest speechwriter in history, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And the other show with Comedy Central is an animated show that we brought in Mike Perry, who does all our show opens and did Mushrooms. He does all the animations and
the Mushrooms episode.
Mm-hmm. The Mushrooms episode. Yeah.
He does a lot.
He also does
Shrooms.
Shrooms. Yeah.
But he will, it'll be that in his style, which we are so excited about. So that's in the works, and then we both have other stuff going on in other places, but it all takes a very long time. And so it's all,
and doesn't all pan out.
We've been talking about all these things for like quite a while, and they're all like kind of like inching.
Excited.
Well, congrats on everything. Thanks. And thanks so much for, you know, great run with Broad City. Sure. Now I think what you need to do at some point in honor of Golden Girls, one night at 4 a.m. meet up, have a chocolate cheesecake of some sort and just talk it all out and, you know, just like have a recorder going at the same time.
I think that is a great idea.
Yeah.
How about that last line that I think we have a can left. I'll go get it from my bedroom.
The whipped cream.
Yeah, and so he is like, funny. Don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
Perfection. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Great talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's it for this edition of My Favorite Episode. Join us again next time as we once again explore another guest pick. And be sure to subscribe to My Favorite Episode on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you download podcasts. Also, head on over to Variety.com for your daily fix of TV news, analysis, and reviews. I'm Michael Schneider, and we'll see you again next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.